All right, this is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti. A little bit of a rough start there. And probably the reason we're having a rough start is we need your support here at KEPW 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming on KEPW.org. This is our pledge week, so if you can send us a couple bucks, that would be great. What we do here is we're a community radio station, so we try to get local news and local voices on the air, and that's what we do with our newscast is at 6 a.m. And each day, and 1 p.m. on Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday is our local news where we try to get you, the listener, information that affects you in our local community. So what I'm going to do today on Talk is Cheap is I've been on vacation, and when I go on vacation, I always pick up a copy of the Financial Times of London, because they are one of the last independently owned newspapers. So I've got a few things from that I'm going to excerpt for you while I'll have some lectures and interviews coming up here over the next few weeks. So yeah, please go to kepw.org and send us a couple bucks to support local community radio in your community. And even if you're not in our community, maybe you're listening on radioforall.net or one of the other indie media sites. It's where you're going to get information that you can actually use is with independent media. So you want to support independent media when you can. All right, thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. Coming up, Financial Times of London. Okay, this is KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kpw.org. The show's Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SusD. All right, so let me give you a couple of stories here, and then I'm going to give you I'm kind of an armchair economist that I study the Federal Reserve, and a lot of liberals, you know, they want to change the system completely so they don't look at the Federal Reserve as kind of a conservative issue. But it's really a liberal issue, and so I'm going to get into the Federal Reserve here. But first, let me get into some local stuff. This is from the Financial Times of London from Friday, October 22nd. We were having some technical difficulties last week, so I couldn't bring it on last week. So this is on the Biden. What is the debacle that's going on over the government spending bill that they're trying to do. This is from Edward Luch. Sorry. Edward Luch. Biden reform agenda falls foul of powerful large lobby groups. So this is just skipping down in the article here to this paragraph. Some of the president's setbacks are self-created. Democrats have marketed their bills poorly. The most basic mistake is to talk in 10-year numbers, which makes the $3.5 trillion American Families Plan sound gargantuan. In reality, the two bills, including the $1.2 trillion infrastructure one, would cost just over 1% of U.S. gross domestic product a year in new spending. Using large numbers gives the government's critics an opening to depict them as inflationary. There is scant evidence of that compared with the impact of the Federal Reserve's monthly $120 billion asset purchases during the pandemic. Biden's reforms are modest. And so that's what I'm going to get into is government spending versus inflation. And hopefully, next week, to get into some solutions, which is what I try to do here on Talk is Cheap, is bring you solutions-based journalism. Another reason why you should support KBW, because we try to bring you community solutions for the community. All right, so skipping further down in the article, but U.S. political wisdom is refracted through multiple lenses, and what voters want is rarely visible on the other side. Washington is mired in ritual agony about government overreach and fiscal responsibility. Both sides are complicit in this. Biden supporters began by describing his reforms as the biggest since Lyndon Johnson's Great Society and even Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal. That made it easier for his opponents to warn of socialist takeover, of a socialist takeover. In reality, we're witnessing a familiar tale. Medium-sized proposals get watered down by big lobbyists. Is it any surprise voters are so cynical? All right, so that's from Edward Luch at Financial Times. Okay, so another fun story is we keep spending money on deforestation. We subsidize deforestation, and you know, as Oliver Stone and Garrison said, you want to follow the money. And many people have said that, I guess. Anyway, the main tactic that we need to exploit is cutting off funding for these things. Okay, so this is banks lend hand to deforestation linked groups. Again, from the Financial Times, please support us and the Financial Times when you get a chance. Pick up a Financial Times. They're hard to find. Usually you got to go to a bookstore or certain magazine stands will carry that pink paper, the Financial Times. Okay, so this is from Camelia Hodgson and Stephen Morris. J.P. Morgan, HSBC, and B of A among providers of $119 billion to 20 large agribusinesses. Global banks and asset managers have extended a total of $119 billion of financing to 20 large agribusinesses linked to deforestation in the 5 years since the Paris Climate Agreement was brought into force, according to an investigation by the Global Witness Campaign Group. I've got an email out to Global Witness, but they're in England, so I would have to come in here at like 2 in the morning to interview Global Witness. Global lenders J.P. Morgan, HSBC, and Bank of America were among the biggest funders of the groups, which included Brazilian meat producer JBS, each striking funding deals between 2016 and 2020, the research found. Deals included almost $730 million worth of financing for Olam International, one of the world's largest food ingredient suppliers, and its subsidiaries from J.P. Morgan via revolving credit facilities, the data showed. Olam International is under investigation by the Forest Stewardship Council for allegedly destroying rainforest in Gabon. For once, the Forest Stewardship Council is actually doing something. Deforestation is a huge source of carbon emissions, and tackling the issue is expected to be discussed by global negotiators at the forthcoming COP26 UN Climate Summit in the UK, which happens to be going on this weekend. Despite the growing interest among companies in planting carbon-absorbing trees, tackling deforestation in supply chains remains less of a mainstream issue for many investors than other environmental concerns, such as measuring direct corporate emissions. Data on more than 5,000 deals shared with the FT, the Financial Times, indicate that the top five banks by total deal value, which included BNP Paribas and the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, or the ICBC, struck almost 570 bond, credit, and underwriting deals with 20 agribusinesses over the period worth $32 billion. All five institutions except the ICBC have, quote, no deforestation policies. All 20 agribusinesses have been publicly linked to deforestation and were listed in a database of groups active in forest risk sectors such as soy, palm, and beef. Assembled by the Global Coalition of Campaign and Research Bodies under the Forest and Finance Umbrella Group. Despite the fact that many of these banks have voluntary commitments on deforestation and on climate change, they're continuing to have relationships with companies that are linked to deforestation, said Colin Robertson, senior forest investigator at Global Witness. The overarching problem is there is a lack of legal obligation on banks to change practices, he added. As the largest, China's ICBC arranged financing for 8 of the 20 companies, the data show. That included providing about $1.1 billion worth of loans and revolving credit facilities to commodities trader Kofco International, which has been at the center of allegations by advocacy group Mighty Earth, that suppliers linked to Kofco have cleared more than 20,000 hectares of forest in Brazil between 2019 and 2021. Kofco said that no illegal deforestation occurred on farms it sourced from during that time. JP Morgan, the second largest financier, underwrote 3 bonds between 2018 and 2019 for commodities trader Cargill, which has been accused of sourcing soy grown in deforested areas. Last year, Grieg Seafood identified Cargill over its soy-related deforestation risk in Brazil. JP Morgan declined a comment. Cargill said it did not supply soy from farmers who cleared land illegally or in protected areas and suspended suppliers that were found to be deforesting protected areas. Barclays and Santander, meanwhile, each underwrote 3 bonds between 2018 and 2019 for JBS, the meat producer that has faced scrutiny from activists and investors for links to destruction in the Amazon rainforest. JBS said it had zero tolerance policy for deforestation and had stopped working with suppliers that breached it. Santander said it was committed to protecting the Amazon and expected its beef processing clients in the region to have a fully traceable supply chain that is deforestation-free by 2025. Although many banks and investment groups have no deforestation policies, have, quote, no deforestation policies, they can be limited in their scope. For example, they may define deforestation as the destruction of certain tropical or rare forests rather than of any woodland. The ban may also not extend to legal deforestation. Policies can also be difficult to enforce and monitor. Banks may ask clients to ensure their suppliers are not involved in the destruction of forests, but many large food groups say they cannot account for every supplier's behavior. Global Witness said the 20 agribusinesses' problematic track records should have raised major red flags for bank compliance teams. Although lawmakers in the EU, UK, and US have proposed regulations designed to eliminate deforestation from supply chains, none would extend the additional due diligence requirements to financial institutions. The Global Witness research involved analysis of bond and share issue underwriting agreements, as well as bond holdings and lines of credit from lenders with headquarters in the UK, the EU, US, and China. Bond issuances were the biggest source of funds, followed by revolving credit facilities and corporate loans. The year that Paris Accord came into force, 2016, was the busiest deal-making year by value, followed by 2019. In addition to direct financing, the 1,500 banks and asset managers tracked in the database held $37.5 billion worth of shares in the 20 agribusinesses as of the fourth quarter of 2020, the data showed. Conflict of interest. Things that make you go, Right, does everybody get that? They own shares. The bond issuances owned shares. In addition to the direct financing, the 1,500 banks and asset managers tracked in the database held $37.5 billion worth of shares in the 20 agribusinesses as of the fourth quarter of 2020, the data showed. HSBC said the bank is in the process of exiting, or has no banking relationships related to forestry, palm oil, or cattle with the majority of entities named in the report. BNP said the list collated by Forests and Finance does not identify actual deforestation practices, but rather ranks all companies whose activities may be considered at risk for forests. Barclays, Bank of America, and Olam declined to comment. ICBC did not respond to a request for comment. Okay, so if you're still eating beef, and if you're not in a credit union, you might want to think about that, although I'm not allowed to tell you what to do here. All right, so let me play you a tune here, and then I'm going to go on my spiel about the Federal Reserve and global finance explained, because the media is not reporting this right. The problem is not the global supply chain. The problem is globalization. Okay, you don't need to trade You don't need to load giant ships, cargo ships full of, and send them across the ocean when you can produce most of the stuff you need in your own country. And sure, you should trade art and culture, and there's all kinds of things you can trade, but you don't need to be dependent on international trade. So I'm going to explain that coming up here on KBW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. Please kick down some bucks for us for what we do, what we're trying to do, build community.
Physique as you twinkle by in moccasin sneakers. Well, I argued with the judge, but the bastard wouldn't budge, 'cause they caught me licking fudge, and they never told me once you were a minor. Strutting out in every race, throw a glass around the place, show the color of your crimson suspenders. We could take the money home, sit around the family throne. My old dog could chew his bone. For 2 weeks we could appease the Almighty. three of the deep.
Okay, this is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SSD, on KEPW, LP, 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org, and you can go to kepw.org if you want to send us kickdown. It's a little bit of money for us, which we could use to keep this community radio station helping, informing the community, and entertaining the community. Those music shows. Okay, so I just want to point out that whether you believe in capitalism or socialism or whatever ism you're into, none of it works without public support, first of all. None of those systems will work without you being involved in it more. And what I'm trying to point out here is the capitalists, they don't even follow their own rules, okay? They're not, they've been socialist. There's been socialist for multinational corporations, and the current Biden administration is doing just that right now. And this is why, you know, as an aside, I got vaccinated, but this is the problem. This is what they're not reporting in the vaccination deal, and where we might have some common ground with the right, is that you're subsidizing the pharmaceutical companies instead of getting us health care like we really, like we need. And that isn't necessarily socialized medicine. If you put all your money into an insurance pool, you would get cheaper prices. So it only makes sense. You know, maybe we should have some health care that is not socialized, but a pool that we all put our money into, and someone manages, a third party manages that, whether it's the government or a private company. Maybe there is a role for corporations. I don't know. I haven't seen one yet. Where a corporation does anything more efficiently, but maybe they do. Okay, so I'm going to start with this basics of the Federal Reserve and inflation. So what? And then I'm going to repeat this. But what they say they're trying to do. And think about this. This is basic economics from your high school. You should all, even if you weren't paying attention in school, you should all know that the law of supply and demand. How can raising the price of something cause lower prices? Okay, so what their theory is that if money is cheap, in other words, low interest rates, they call cheap money, you are going to tend to spend more money on things. Well, I don't know about you. I used to be a grocery clerk, and wealthy people are the cheapest mofos there are. When they came in the grocery store, they always had coupons and were always checking the price of stuff. And just because money is cheap, just because you got a cheap loan on something, you're still gonna look for the cheapest price on anything you're doing. You're not just gonna go throw your money around. At least that's not why you're throwing your money around, is just because cheap interest rates. What they're really doing, there's three concepts here. What they're really doing, for one thing, is there's a thing called parking your money. And unfortunately, your pension plans, it's a less risky to be able to park your money at a high interest rate and buy T-bills, which are very safe. The U.S. government makes T-bills, although that may change here. It's cheaper to put your money into and less risky to just park your money in T-bills at a high interest rate. And back when Volcker in the 70s, I grew up, I watched this happen personally. Interest rates were at 21%. I remember I had an account that went, the bank went bust. I think it was paying me 14% for a little while there. Not that I was rich or anything. I had a little bit of money that I put into this account, and it was earning 14%. So, and then meanwhile, they have to loan that out in order to make profit on that. They loan that out for twice that, Possibly. Okay, so and what that does is just causes recessions and brutal economies, just brutalizes the economy. So the other thing that they're doing is called balance of payments. If you have a high interest rate in your country, and I'm going to get into this with Turkey, I'm going to talk about Turkey here. If you have a high interest rate in your country, people from around the world will want to buy your currency so that they can get that high interest rate. So that tends to make your – now as the supply of your currency is lower because more people want it, so it makes your currency valuable. In theory, that isn't really what's going on. What's going on is a currency is based on all currency, even if, whether it's a fiat, even if you were issuing gold, even if your currency is based on gold, you need, for instance, you need government spending in order to for your currency to get your currency in circulation. You don't just drop your currency from an airplane, a helicopter, and just drop your currency and let everybody pick it up. Okay. And for instance, there's an article in the Financial Times, this WorldCoin is and even cryptocurrency, they're all based on something, that on some activity that you're doing. And sometimes it's a promotion. WorldCoin is promoting an iris scan thing. So they issue you currency when you take this iris scan. Bitcoin is, there's a finite amount of Bitcoin similar to gold, but still you're not, for instance, Coinbase just issued some Bitcoin for free to you, but it's a promotion that you have taken some action of some kind linked to the currency. So, and for instance, the reason, the US dollar is used all over the world is because it's based on oil. It's an oil currency. And, for instance, also I've talked about this before, the Thai baht used to be, they used to report the Thai baht, and since globalization, Thailand has become dependent on exports now. It used to be the most stable currency, and believe it or not, even as stable as the U.S. dollar is, because it's a petrodollar, as stable as it is, they used to look at the Thai baht because the Thailand was an independent nation and based their they were all self-sufficient and had some tourism, was all the industry that Thailand had. And so the Thai baht tend to be a stable currency. And they would, there was actually, you could see this at the bottom of the page on the Wall Street Journal. They also used to report M1. They'd stop reporting this during the Bush administration because they're just printing money and they don't want you to know how much money is in circulation without anything backing it. But so even the U.S. dollar, they issued the U.S. dollar. You have to spend money in the economy in order to get money into the economy. If we did not have any government spending, you would not have any money in the economy. Okay, so I actually am not an advocate of spending money, but if you're going to spend money, you do it with Keynesian economics where you put money at the bottom, and that tends to bring everyone up rather than putting it at the top where people, again, just park their money and take it out of the economy. When you put the money in the bottom of the economy, it tends to expand through the economy and create jobs, and is circulated multiple times through the economy. So, all right, I'm going to get into that more when next week if I do some solutions. And spoiler alert, the solution is to put money in at the bottom of the economy, and that doesn't necessarily cause inflation. Government spending does not necessarily cause inflation, which I'll get into more next week. But for instance, here's an article of where the inflation is coming from is not coming from the government just printing money. Here's where it's from globalization right now. Oil prices will go up. And oil prices would have gone up whether we environmentalists switched to off of oil. They would still raise prices because less people would be producing it. Or if we stayed in an oil economy, they would still raise prices of oil because that's where how they make profit. And they would just adjust the amount of production of oil until they got the price around $100 a barrel is usually where it seems to sit. Although $50 a barrel would be a lot better. Okay, so this is Blackstone warns on inflation after record results by Antoine Guerra from New York. Again, from the Financial Times of Friday, October 22nd, 2021. The world's largest alternative asset manager, Blackstone, is advising its private equity portfolio of about 100 companies to prepare for higher inflation and more supply chain problems. Quote, we're talking to our companies now about having their supply chains closer to home and keeping more inventory on site. Blackstone President Jonathan Gray told the Financial Times. From port backlogs to semiconductor shortages and soaring commodity prices, bottlenecks threaten the global economic recovery and have seen consumer groups such as Unilever, Nestle, and paint company AkzoNobel increasing how much they charge customers. Our expectation is that we will see higher levels of inflation, said Gray, who is advising executives to budget for higher energy and food and labor costs. This is going to stick with us. End quote. The New York-based group yesterday reported record profits and investment activity for the third quarter as assets under management hit a record. All right, so again, and this is not intended for financial. Please go to a financial advisor for any investments that you do. This is not intended for investment advice for educational purposes only. The opinions on this show are not that of the of KPW.org. Or its producers, or management, or Peaceworks, or any of them. Okay, so, again, so inflation right now is not caused. Interest rates have nothing whatsoever to do, and they're not going to really affect anything. That is not what's causing inflation in the United States. Okay, so, in Turkey, Erdogan, who, whatever you want to say about Erdogan, is, you know, the guy's Erdogan is not the best person in the world. However, the problem with his country is not really caused by globalization and outside problems, namely war. And this is what I wish Richard Wolff would talk much more about, is how war relates to your economy and your currency. Okay, and as you remember, and you can look this up, the Kurds, during the Trump administration, swarmed over the border to Turkey. And war is mainly the problem that Turkey is having is caused by war refugees. And, gee, where else is that happening? Okay, so Turkey's central bank wrapped for rate cut. Move linked to influence of Erdogan, whose views challenge orthodoxy. Okay, so what he's doing is lowering interest rates, which is, oh my God, how could you be lowering interest rates in a time of inflation? Okay, and it's because the inflation is not caused by the interest rates. So in my opinion, he's doing the right thing. And what it will do is improve local businesses with low interest rates. Local businesses can take out loans and improve their businesses by new equipment and not expand necessarily, but within a cycle, within their own community, they will be able to loan money and improve their own community. And we used to have this here. It was called the savings and loan situation. And this is something that Pierre-Joseph Proudhon had advocated. And this is what a credit union does, and a state bank. These are banks that keep the money. They're nonprofit banks, not socialist. They're nonprofit banks that keep the money within the community. Okay, again, Keynesian economics. So, and then the problem with the savings and loans. There was a savings and loan crisis. Well, what caused the savings and loan crisis? And this is well documented. This isn't conspiracy theory. The CIA, you can read this in Inside Job, was taking over savings and loans. They put their operatives were owning savings and loans and extracting the money out of the savings and loans. And this is what caused the savings and loan crisis. I'm not making this up. Okay, this is not conspiracy theory, and to what degree they did that, you can argue, but that's the basis of the savings and loan crisis, and so now we, and they separated international finance, the savings and loans did local financing, and my father used to work for a savings and loan, and did not make huge amounts of money. He was just basically like, you're going to see in the Christmas Story, he was like George Bailey, loaning to the community. He did loan. However, they did loan on huge tracts of housing tracts, which I don't really agree with. But that was the largest thing they did. Okay, so getting back to Turkey, he's. The reason, so he's lowering interest rates to improve the local economy, okay? And again, because the reason his economy is screwed up is because of war and U.S. foreign economic policy. Okay, so Turkey central bank wrapped for rate cut, move linked to influence Erdogan, whose views challenge orthodoxy. Because this is the orthodoxy that I'm talking about. They think that if you have inflation, the solution is always to raise interest rates. And this is what the... U.S. Federal Reserve will do soon. Turkey's central bank defied warnings from the business world and opposition parties by slashing its main interest rate despite rising inflation and an ailing currency. And again, when you raise interest rates, people will buy your currency so that they can have a high interest rate. In fact, I just heard about this life hack on you can do this with cryptocurrency. You can buy... You can put your money in, it's called Celsius Network, and put your money in there, and they will pay you, depending on what coin, you can get up to 9%, and then they're loaning that money out with no service charges. They're loaning it out similar to a credit card at half the rate of a credit card, and they would pay you 4%. So I don't know why it went, but that's... And so the reason that currency... is because that currency is being used for something, it's become more popular because people are using the currency. So it's what you can do with your currency. So, but again, the currency in Turkey is theoretically meant for local businesses, not international investment. Okay, so at a time when both developed economies and other emerging markets are adopting a hawkish stance, the bank bucked the trend by cutting the cost of borrowing by a full 2 percentage points, far more than markets expected. The lira, which had lost about 20% of its value against the dollar this year prior to the announcement, fell a further 2% on the news, hitting a fresh low of 9.47 to the dollar, which is lira 9.47 lira. Turkish lira to the dollar. And of course, they're basing everything against the dollar. And cryptocurrency is another example. You want to base everything again. I've heard you want to base everything on either Ethereum or Bitcoin, because you might have done, if you've invested in a smaller currency, you might have done just as well with the bigger currency. But that's an aside. Anyway, the only reason you need to go against the dollar is for international investment. If you're getting more for your money in your local economy, that's really what Erdogan is trying to do, is make the money more valuable within Turkey. Paul McNamara, a fund manager at asset management GAM, said the decision to lower the one-week repo rate to 16% was either brave or foolhardy, adding, "I strongly lean to the latter." The move reflected President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's influence on central bank policy. An opponent of high interest rates, he has asserted greater control over the nominally independent central bank in recent years. Erdogan, whose view that high interest rates lead to inflation runs counter to the established economic orthodoxy, has often meddled in monetary policy as he consolidates his control over the Turkish state. He has pushed for rate cuts even at the cost of soaring inflation and turmoil in the financial markets. So you mark my words, this, you know, he'll be thrown out of office by some kind of international coup. And like I say, the Financial Times is fairly accurate. So they're saying what the orthodoxy, they're describing what the orthodoxy is, which is, and so they're not putting their opinions in like I am. Okay, so Ali Babacan, who served for years as Erdogan's economy czar before launching his own party in 2020, said yesterday that the central bank had cut under orders. The bank has faced growing pressure from the country's opposition, which has been buoyed by Erdogan's declining poll ratings, to act in line with its independent mandate. Before yesterday's announcement, Republican People's Party leader Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu reiterated a warning to the central bank that it must act in the public interest. "Dear bureaucrats," he wrote on Twitter, "when taking decisions today, your guiding principle should be nothing but the welfare of our nation." In the lead-up to the decision, Ömer Kök, one of Turkey's leading business tycoons and Turkish Business Association TÜSAD, issued public warnings of the harm being done by spiraling exchange rate and runaway price rises. Meral Akşener, who leads a right-wing opposition party, described the latest move as a great shame, adding, "This great nation does not deserve this." Okay, so these are guys on the right that are criticizing him. And nowhere in this article does it mention, this is where the news takes things out of context, and Financial Times is trying to be brief, I guess, with this article. But I do criticize, they're taking it out of the context of the Syrian war, is what is causing the problem in Turkey. Victor Szabo, an emerging markets portfolio manager at Aberdeen, said the worst-case scenario for the central bank had played out. There's no one left there to stand up to Erdogan. The decision to cut interest rate for a second month in a row pushes the country's real interest rate deep into negative territory once annual inflation, which stood at almost 20% in September, is taken into account. The move risks piling fresh pressure on the lira and is likely to further deter foreign capital. At a time when investment in Turkey is close to its lowest point in the past 20 years, say analysts. Okay, so again, they're dependent on foreign capital. Dependent. Not foreign capital just invests in there because they want to. They've become dependent on foreign capital. That's the word, the opt word that you're not hearing in the news, is dependence on global trade, globalization. 20 years, say analysts. The central bank said there was limited room for further rate cuts before the end of the year. Haluk Brum Seksi, an Istanbul-based independent analyst, said the statement signaled small reductions in the final two rate-setting meetings of the year, but that the door is open for additional rate cuts in the new year. Okay, so, and again, where interest rates are into negative territory, second month in a row, pushes the country's real interest rate deep into negative territory. So what negative territory means is when we had, during the 2008 recession, you had to pay people to take out a loan. Okay, so that's what that is government spending. So when the country is having problems, when the capitalists have screwed up and can't get things going in Keynes, that's when the government comes in and steps in. When to maintain commerce in a laissez-faire capitalist system, that is when the government steps in to, it's called laissez-faire, not we don't do anything. The government comes in to maintain commerce. So commerce has collapsed in Turkey. So the government is using interest rates to do government spending and maintain commerce. Okay, so what else? Yeah, so that's all I got for you. Like I say, next week I'm going to get into some solutions of why government spending does not necessarily cause inflation, depending on how it's done, and that costs, housing costs, are artificially high because of corporate malfeasance is why things are too expensive, not because of government policy, because of government subsidizing of multinational corporations. Or I've got some lectures. I've got a lecture from the Mutual Aid Society of Wisconsin coming up, and several interviews that I'm trying to, some that are fairly, that I just need to call them, and others that will be coming up. Okay? So, yeah, global finance. It's kind of a, we're kind of, Erdogan's kind of caught in a crossfire.
brought to you by Salt River Tree Museum and Casino.
An urgent message to anyone with type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes, this discovery could save your life.
See pictures of trees larger
top doctor from Arizona has discovered
trout
the real root cause of high blood sugar, and it has nothing to do with eating carbs or sugar, or even genetics,
hear the disaffected sounds
but instead with beta cells inside the pancreas. While most medications can keep the symptoms of diabetes,
take the Oregon Desert Highway to the clear-cut road exit, turn right at the stump in the road, and you're at Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Free parking, kids a buck and a half, closed during summer months due to melting asphalt, giant locusts, and methyl ethyl hydroxy colchicine slag emissions.
Caught up in a whirlwind, can't catch my breath. Knee deep in hot water, broke out in the cold sweat. Can't catch a turn in this rat race. Feels like I'm losing time, and I'm breaking my face. The Mount Shadow, face of grace, heart full of darkness, spot out of my face. There's love all around me, but I was looking for revenge. Thank God I never found me, this would have been the end. I was walking the tightrope, stepping on my grave. Walking the tightrope, a shame and a sin. Walking the tightrope, bring it all around. Walking the tightrope from the mouth to mouth.
Start with a song called All Saints Day by Van Morris, who celebrates the day.
This is KEPWLP 97.3 FM. Peaceworks Community Radio in Eugene, Oregon, and streaming online at kepw.org.
This is Jeff and Dan from Hard Rain and Slow Trains, Bob Dylan and fellow travelers.
And you are listening to KEPWLP 97.3 FM in Eugene, Oregon.
Peaceworks Community Radio.
And we stream at kepw.org.
If you're interested in local news on the web, check out the Eugene Community Newswire at newswire.kepw.org. It's a new hub for local reporting by and for members of our community. At ECN, we believe that creating an accessible local news ecosystem is essential. Think globally and think locally. And support hyperlocal media today at newswire.kepw.org.